She's gonna come out, Lawrence, nothing more.
You look sideways at them, they kill you.
Sound like hard men to do business with.
You bet.
Don't say it's a fine morning or I'll shoot you.
You're in.
Right from Terrible Tommy's Terrible Tavern right here in North Central Indiana, in the bunker today. Beautiful day outside, yeah, not too humid today. Sun's out, yeah, and it's in the 70s, real nice. We got the county fair going on here. I forgot whether I told you that, and so tomorrow's my big day at the county fair. We got a couple of country singers going to appear out there, and I always like to go through all the livestock barns and then go and see the new products and then go down and bug the Republicans, the Democrats at their booze, you know. Going up there and getting an argument with them or kid them around or something. But anyhow, tomorrow's Tommy's day at the fair. Yeah. So anyhow, this is the Terrible Tommy's Terrible Tavern here, right next to the bunker. This is where we talk about the Niggers, and we talk about the Jews, we talk about the Spicolas, we talk about the Chinklets. Yeah. And I got a lady here who wants to say something from California. Here we go. She's pissed off. She's a she-wolf.
Terrible Tommy, this is the lone she-wolf in California. Send to leave. Excellent commentary from a fellow Californian on the mud invasion of California. Costco is full of rude gooks. They push people around, they get in front of you in line, and then they pretend they don't know English. I get right in their face and tell them to back off. And the problem is, a lot of white men and a lot of white men are pussies. Speak softly, carry a big stick, and in no certain terms, with eye contact, body language, and verbiage, these muds need to know this is our land. They're standing on the backs of our nation that we built. Terrible Tommy, love you dearly. Listen to your hotline. You're the best. Keep it up. And once I get out of California, I just can't wait.
Well, there she goes, our sweetheart from the West Coast, She-Wolf, and she got it right. I mean, they were doing that stuff before I left, and it's getting worse. The more numbers they get, the more aggressive they're going to get, and you're going to have to react to that, or they're going to push you right down. You're going to be off the sidewalk like the colored folks used to be at one time in some places in this country. You're going to be at the back of the bus. So you better start resisting this crap, I'm telling you. Joom keeps us pretty much up to date about what the hell's going on out there, and he's got it pretty well nailed. Well, listen to this young stud. Let's go for a couple of rounds in the ring here, baby. Yep, 73, and I'm about to go back out to California for a couple of days and pull those boats across Santa Monica Bay like... What's his name did? Jack LaLanne, remember when Jack LaLanne was, what, 85 or something like that, maybe even older? He went out there and put a rope in his mouth and pulled I don't know how many rowboats across the Santa Monica Bay there. See, that's the way you go. People are lasting longer and looking better. I mean, the women and the men, you know, if they take care of themselves, is... You know, that we don't all do it perfectly, but we try. So I'll keep plugging away at 73. Well, here comes one of our boys. He's called in for years, and he's from up in Detroit, but he stopped at the Terrible Tommy's Tavern and had a good time last night, so you'll have to excuse him a little bit, okay? Cut him a little slack.
The white that race deserves what it's going to get. Deserves every inch and ounce and everything else iota that they're going to get. Because they're a bunch of fucking cocksucking, fucking brain dead zombie sheep led by their fucking Judaic Christians and the Jew media.
Quit cussing.
They don't even want to question it. They're a bunch of cocksuckers.
Knock that off.
And out-majoritied. They're becoming no minority. And they can't even see that.
You got a pie.
They have no idea what's coming. And they're going to deserve everything they get. And believe me, and you know as well as I, they're going to get it.
That's it. You're shut off.
Unless they wake up, which is not likely, and it's not going to happen.
Ethel, don't give him no more to drink.
Back from Detroit, good day.
Yeah, right. Well, I'll tell you, man, Pat's a good old boy, but he's sitting up there in the middle of that Detroit wasteland, and everywhere he looks is burnt-out houses and crack houses and meth houses and niggers everywhere he looks, so he gets really pissed off, and when he does, he flies down here to the bar, and Ethel tanks him up, and then he wants to get on the show, so I apologize for his potty mouth. Now, I want to remind you, boys and girls, you call up on our phone machine, our machine here, our update machine. A lot of people don't realize that's how I started my radio show. Yeah, so tickled me when somebody wanted to take over the show, because what I used to do, and you guys have been around a while, know that I used to record the shows and then put them on on the tape and then put them on the phone machine. You call in and you get a half an hour, maybe sometimes an hour show on the telephone lines before we even used the computers and the internet, because it was in the beginning that was a tough way to go to try to use the internet, but now everything's simple. So anyhow, if you call in and leave a message, you got something that's bugging you, you got a burr under your saddle, call in, leave your little speech. I'll put it on Vox so you can talk quite a while. And but just remember, keep it to the main subject and don't go on and on and on. And that's 573-267-5036. And use that method. And if you've got a decent pitch, something to say, I'll put it on the radio show right here like I'm doing now. In fact, right now we're thinking about going to a call-in radio show once a week. I'm thinking maybe Wednesday night, like we tried to do the TV show when Podblank was going, and see how it goes. If enough people call in, see, we'll put all those messages, if they got much to them, we'll put them on the radio show. So maybe talk to the boys, and if we can get them out of the bar over there, we'll do a call-in show next Wednesday night at 9 o'clock. And I think Wolf Wall Street will help us out, and maybe some other people might come on too. So anyhow, let me know if you like that, and because I'm not going to sit here looking at the wall. I don't even have a girly picture on the wall to look at, so let me know if you like that idea of a call-in show once a week. Yeah. Now, I'm going to play, if I can find it here, a little discourse between a radio talk show host on the left, and the head of the NAACP that was very funny to me. The guy's name is Ben Jealous. Well, I just saw a picture of Ben Jealous this morning, and hell, he's lighter than Obama. He looks more like a white man, a lot more like a white man than Obama, and he's yelling, screaming about taking care of the colored people, and he's saying that there ain't no such thing as race. We all crazy. I guess I can quit and fold up and retire here and go fishing. There ain't no such thing as race. Let's see what we can hear here.
Helping you win the water cooler wars here on the Tom Hartman Radio and TV program. The thing that is holding together the European Union right now, at least economically, the thing that hasn't spun them into total chaos, is the fact that the Germans, first of all, being the largest exporting economy, one of the strongest economies in the EU, that the Germans have banned naked shorts. They have told their stockbrokers, if you do what those Americans are doing and what those Brits are doing, we're going to throw your butts in jail. They banned naked shorts. In other words, they banned short selling, betting against a company stock going up or betting that it will go down without owning any of this company stock and without even taking a position where in the future you may have to own it. They have banned that. The rest of the country won't do that. Everybody else is afraid to do that. No one wants to go near that. Why? Because everybody else is in the pocket of the banksters. But we have now a government of, by, and for the big bankers in the United States and to a large extent in the EU and frankly, around the world. China's one of the few. Of course, China, you got a dictatorship. The banksters, if you don't behave, they take you out and shoot you. I don't know. Maybe we should consider it. So we've got this financial services bill, and it looks like that raccoon that's sitting on Ben Nelson's head has decided to send him vibes to behave this time, and he's going to go along and vote yes on it. And who knows, Elizabeth Warren may even end up head of the financial services, you know, the Financial Consumer Protection Agency that this thing creates, which would be great news. So there may be some little good news in this, but Russ Feingold is still saying, I'm not going to vote for this thing. It doesn't go far enough. Do it right, damn it, or don't do it at all. And I just have to say, if I was in the Senate right now, this would be one hell of a tough choice. I would probably vote for it because it is the best that they're going to get with the Republicans and the conservatives.
Thanks, Tom.
Okay, thanks a lot, Mike. I appreciate that. Classical economics, basically economics that goes back to arguably Aristotle, maybe even to Gilgamesh, you know, 7,000 years, everybody understood that when people have money that they want to spend, that creates demand. And demand, you know, supply and demand, right? Everybody's heard about supply and demand. That demand is what stimulates a marketplace. When people have money in their pocket, they want to buy things. They go out in the marketplace, they say, I want to buy things. And so entrepreneurs, people like me who start businesses, they come forward and they say, okay, I'm going to start a business to sell you what you want. That's the way it's always been understood. Now, the trickle-down theory, the weird opposite effect that Reagan came up with in 1980 after, and totally flies in the face of literally thousands of years of economics. You know, modern economics all the way back to Adam Smith in 1776 with Wealth of Nations, and frankly more important, if you're interested in reading Adam Smith, read his earlier book, Theory of Moral Sentiments, because Wealth of Nations is based on that. But in any case, classic economics, they said, to hell with that, we're going to come up with a new theory that will help the rich, and that theory is twofold. Number one, if you cut taxes on the rich, they will get richer and richer and richer, and they'll buy more yachts, and they'll buy more mansions, and in the process, they'll put to work people who build yachts, and people who can do construction on mansions, and some of that wealth that they have, you know, a lot of it, of course, is going to end up in Swiss bank accounts, but some of it will trickle down to the masses.
Yeah.
And in addition, if you give them a lot of money, they will create supply. In other words, if you make rich people richer, they'll say, hey, I got an extra $1 billion in my pocket. What shall I do with it? Well, I think I'll build a factory and put 100 people to work and make something. Even if there's no demand for it, even if nobody can buy it, I'll make something. And that was Reagan's theory. And George Herbert Walker Bush, during the campaign of 1980, during the primary 1980, looked at that and he said, that's nuts. He said, that's voodoo. He called it voodoo economics. He was right. So that's the difference. And Republicans are still holding to this weird notion of Ronald Reagan's that if you give tax breaks to billionaires and millionaires, that somehow that's going to help the economy. It has not only never been proven to be true, the opposite. The disaster that we're experiencing right now is the direct result of 30 years of Reaganomics. And Bill Clinton, by the way, did not much deviate from that. So it really has been 30 years of Reaganomics. And we need to go back to classical economics to understanding supply and demand, and that demand is driven by people having money in their pockets to spend. And during times of mass unemployment, the way you put that money in people's pockets is by government intervention. Unemployment compensation, which the Republicans are fighting in Congress. Make work programs like Roosevelt did. Nouriel Roubini, again, in today's financial times, he says, just a couple sentences I want to share with you, and then I'll get back to your calls, but this is so important. He says, meanwhile, President Barack Obama must again persuade America's taxpayers. Frankly, I think he first has to persuade the corporate mainstream media, which is totally singing the Republican tune. Anyhow, he must persuade America's taxpayers that a new surge in government spending is needed to protect a fragile recovery. This is Nouriel Roubini, one of the top economists and most accurate economists on the planet, saying, Obama, you gotta stimulate the economy more by spending more government money so that money ends up in people's pockets so that they'll buy things. And then he goes on to say, plans to boost government spending in the near term and to embrace austerity in the long term only become more difficult if the president fails to explain the need for them. In other words, Obama, provide some leadership! Nouriel Roubini, he says, America's Republicans need to accept that the path to a global recovery begins at home with extended unemployment benefits and help for state and local governments. And I say, Nouriel Roubini, A, you're absolutely right, and B, if you think that the Republicans are going to get on board with this and bring us back to rational economic policies when they're not in power, you're crazy.
Well, I do believe that boy's getting a little excited there about that economic stuff, and I think that it sounds pretty much on track, I think. I don't know. We'll have to discuss this with Wall Street, because he's every time I talk to him, he says, they've got it all. They stole it all. So, but maybe we can get a little bit of it back.
have characterized on multiple occasions and in multiple venues President Obama as a monkey. They've hurled racial epithets at civil rights heroes like John Lewis and Emmanuel Cleaver. At a recent rally in Lexington, the Daily Kos actually documented Tea Party members selling T-shirts saying that literally said, "Yep, I'm a racist!" Exclamation mark!
Yeah.
Proud. And this is insane. The NAACP is considering how to respond to this.
Oh.
Ben Jealous is with us. He is the president and CEO of the NAACP. Website, NAACP.org. And Ben Jealous, welcome back to our program.
Hey, thank you, Tom. It's good to be back. It's good to be. And you know, the last night in my speech at our membership, we responded. We challenged the Tea Party to expel the bigots in their ranks. That's what any responsible group should do. It's what we would do. It's what...
Why should we do that, boy? Why should we do that? I think you're assuming that our racial wolves and so forth want to join up with the teabaggers? I think you're wrong. Incidentally, where in the hell did you get that microphone at a Chinese chop shop?
Spell the bigots in your ranks or you take full responsibility for them. You can't have it both ways.
Now, part of the problem, of course, with suggesting that the Tea Party expel their bigots is that there are at least five different people who claim that they're the leaders of the Tea Parties. You've got competing Tea Parties, for-profit, not-for-profit, and then you've got this main organization that was funded by some oil billionaires and is run by Dick Armey behind the scenes. You know, how do you even define exactly what and where the Tea Party is?
Yeah.
Well, you've got six factions of the Tea Party.
Six?
They can all enforce their rule. The Freedom Works, the smallest one, led by Dick Armey, he should start there. You know, it's the same dynamic we have with the old white citizens councils. And by the way,
yeah.
You know, now you have the conservative citizens council, the Council of Conservative Citizens, which is their lineal descendant, certainly racist organization, because they're very, very active in the Tea Party.
Yeah.
Stormfront.com is they're very active in the Tea Party. Just like you have David Duke out there musing at the Tea Party and help make him president.
Uh-oh, there's a Dukester. They're bringing the Dukester in.
You know, serve the people of this country in government. You stand up and say, we will not tolerate bigots in our ranks. If you are, you know, in, you know, faction A or faction B or the movement as a whole, you need to get out. And if you don't get out, we'll throw you out. That's what any responsible organization does.
Hey, boy, I don't think you're big enough to throw those people out of there. And you got to prove each one is a bigot, number one. And I haven't run into any teabagger, at least in this area, that said white race or anything like that so far. They must be hiding from me because I don't hear any teabaggers saying nigger or we got to get those black people and all that kind of stuff. They're scared to death to say that kind of stuff. So I don't know where you're coming from. I think the NAACP just wants to play off the teabaggers now, because the teabaggers, they get quite a bit of press. So here's the chief boy from the NAACP. He wants to play off that to get some money into the NAACP. He wants to play a Morris D's here. Yeah.
Arms, as we all have in our rallies, just move them out of the rally.
Yeah.
But, you know, the flip side is to do what the White Citizen Council did, you know, which is to say, we're not the Klan, and the guy talking may not be the Klan, but the guy standing next to him is, and that's the evocative force, a force of intolerance and hatred that brings so many people to the movement.
It's sort of like, you know, the KKK never went away, and of course they actually didn't, but I mean, a large chunk of those people who called themselves Klan members simply reinvented themselves. And in many cases they reinvented themselves in what looked like, you know, respectable roles in clothing, some of them even within the Republican Party officially itself.
Well, it's very bad when white people do things like that, the pro-white people do that like that, but when you... Fabian socialists, and when the communists are driven underground a little bit, and then they come back up and use Fabian socialism, and then they come around and use progressive. Isn't that sort of what you're saying? Isn't that what you're accusing white people of doing?
Leader went so far as to get plastic surgery and start wearing suits. You know, the reality is, you know, if you put lipstick on a pig.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really a remarkable thing. And I'm seeing this also, and I'd love to get your take on this. We're talking with Ben Jealous, the president and CEO of the NAACP. They're having their convention right now.
Incidentally, like I said, you'd get a picture of Ben Jealous. He's whiter than hell, man. He's a hell of a lot whiter than Barack Obama.
Governor of Arizona coming out and saying, you know, we've got people being beheaded in the desert. We've got a huge crime problem. When it turns out that the crime in Arizona is lower than it's ever been, and this is not because the law went into effect, because it never did, that there have been no beheadings. She has been lying and fear-mongering. There's been this whole movement in the United States that, you know, over the last couple of years, this anti-immigrant movement,
yeah,
which, frankly, in my opinion, is largely being driven by, oh my God, it's brown people.
There you go.
There's a tried and true formula for incompetent politicians.
Of course we're racist. Of course we're racist, you turkeys. They're racist. We all know that. Even the brown ones that got a little money, you know, then they don't want to have anything to do with the browner ones down there. And that's fine, because that's what racism's all about. We love it, baby.
If you don't know how to do your job well, then you become a fear-mongering racist, you know, and folks, you know, love you. That's what we're, you know, confronting here. That spirit has to be squashed. You know, look, if Governor Brewer wants to, you know, stay governor, let him run on the issues. Let him run on policy.
Did you hear that? That spirit of racism must be crushed. Do you think he's going to crush it? Who's going to crush it? Come on, boys. Take your best licks.
You're talking with Ben Jealous. Ben, I used to live in Europe, and I spent a lot of time there. And in Germany, the Germans and the Gastarbeiters, the former guest workers who are from Turkey, who are now three and four generations in, and many of them German citizens, are coming into conflict. The right-wing parties, we did our...
Yeah, because of capitalism. Yeah, because of capitalism. Whenever they can get out of developing a new piece of machinery that will do the work of a man, they'll import some third world Turk to do the job. So, you know, capitalism on the ashes of National Socialism, capitalism moved right into Germany. Yeah.
Immigrant. They have, you know, in France, a lot of Algerians who came there. It was a former U.S. French colony. Racism, it seems, nobody's figured out a way to fix this thing, and it keeps reincarnating.
I know how to fix it. You get the monopolist capitalists out of the way to where they don't create magnets to bring in cheap labor, and make sure that the population of your country, your white population, and the technology and the machinery that you build is capable of handling everything. But you see, this is all based upon growth, growth, more growth. And what have I told you about growth? I played some good stuff on here last year about growth. I'm going to have to dig it up again, because growth is not good. And they insist on more and more growth. Now, here is where this socialist, Tom Harmon, gets is talking out of both sides of his mouth. Because he knows that runaway growth is not good. Over-manufacturing, a waste of the environment, and so forth. But yet he's for helping the capitalist by opening the gates of the country for cheap labor to come in, saying, oh, these are just people who want a break. They don't give a shit about these people. It's just to use them, get them to work cheap, right? You see, this is all basic logic. And, of course, racism has been a sort of a block, or at least a speed bump to what they're doing. As long as there is racism, white separatism, and so forth around, they haven't won. I mean, they can take over the Republican Party, they can take over the Democrat Party, they can take over all these groups and take over the churches and everything else, but as long as there's at least a percentage of white people that are true racist and understand their race, they have not won. Okay? Get that straight.
Do you have any thoughts on how to go beyond it, or how we as a society can get beyond race and racism itself, beyond just rhetoric?
Well, sure. I mean, yeah, in the short term, we've got to get back to a place where the major parties, even the minor parties, particularly the Tea Party in this country, organizations are clear in their common intolerance for racism and hatred.
Yeah.
And we've got to be clear on that. The Republican Party made a deal with the devil back in the early 70s and late 60s. And
the Southern strategy.
Yes. Which should often be called a white supremacist recruitment strategy. Right.
Now that was just for the big shots. That Southern strategy was not meant as helping the white working class. It was meant purely as an economic thing. You got to understand that these rich bastards, whatever they do to benefit their own pockets because greed is their master. And if they can sort of make it look with the Southern strategy like they were on the side of white people, it keeps their political puppets in power. Get that straight.
But they were explicitly trying to make home for white supremacists who no longer felt at home in the Democratic Party.
Yep.
And, so we have got to address that phenomenon and deal with it. And look, it's fine to fight on the issues. We are not saying abolish the Tea Party. If they want to have a party, there's a First Amendment. But people in this country have to act in a way that's civil and responsible. That's one place. Another place is...
Can you imagine a nigger talking like this? That these white people, these even teabaggers, they've got to learn to be responsible. Can you? with all the nigger crime and niggers standing in front of poll places and chasing people off and with billy clubs and everything else and the massive black crime and everything, this arrogant son of a bitch who's mostly white is going to tell us we got to be nicer? No. We don't got to be nicer. We got to be un-nicer. We're the un-nice group. Yeah, we're not nice. It's too late to be nice. It's too late to be compassionate for the wrong people. No, we're way past that. And there's no patching this up. There's no going back. No, it's not going to happen, boys. It's war.
And you eventually come. Beyond race, I mean, the reality is that race is a lie, and racism is a lie built on a lie.
Mm.
But, you know, we have different ethnicities, we have different cultures.
Wait a minute. There's no race, but there's ethnicity and culture? Where in the hell do you think culture comes from? Culture is a product of race. If it's not a product of race, what is it a product of? No, come on there, Mr. NAACP guy. You're full of crapola.
Yeah, no, there actually isn't a gene for race. There are genetic variations for hair and skin.
What about DNA, baby? What about King Tut being 99% of European DNA? What about DNA? Come on, boys. This guy like Harmon's funny because he's a very intelligent guy. But there's several of these guys that are pretty good on economics on the left, but they are totally flat-out screwed. Race mixing is their religion, and they just go nuts. If only racism would go away, man. Well, you could get rid of every white person in the United States and North America, and you'd have more racism, because then it would be even a more primitive struggle between the blacks and the Mexicans and the Asians, and the Asians will win, too, I'll tell you that.
There is no gene for race. We're all human beings here.
That's exactly right. And that's really, we have to empower our kids to understand that. I mean, you know, it's funny, man. If you sit in a bar...
If that's all it is, a human being, well then, count me with the animals. I'm a higher animal. I don't want to be a human being no more.
Talking about the four races, and they're talking about the Celts and the Welsh and the Anglo-Saxons.
And they're still fighting, by the way.
You know what I'm saying? You know, I'm sitting there going, dude, you're all white. But the reality of the day is race is an English word for tribe.
Yeah.
So we got to move beyond the tribalism because we're one nation. That's why we have the NAACP and so many other civil rights.
Now, remember what I told you, boys and girls? It's tribalism. We must move as much as possible forward towards a modern technological tribalism because, just like he said, that's race. Yeah. And so some things he said I agree with.
10-10 in Washington, D.C., under the banner One Nation, working together. We got to focus on the issues. We got to put Americans back to work. We got to pull America back together. And the forces of hope, the people of the majority of this country, got to stand up, be counted, be recognized, be in Washington on 10-10, and be at the ballot box on 11-10.
What do you think, Vangelis, President, CEO of the NAACP, NAACP.org, about harnessing that? Frankly, I think probably natural human tendency to be tribal, and rather than focusing it on things like race, these micro things, expand it out and embrace it, and say, yes, we're all part of the same tribe, and that tribe is called Citizens of the United States of America.
Oh, that's what a bullshit that is! You're trying to set aside a million years of evolution. And call this polyglot bunch. I mean, they've been trying to do that on TV and everything for a long time. We're just all one big happy family. Well, we ain't just one big happy family, and we ain't going to be one big happy family unless it's white, okay?
Compulsory national service in this country.
Agreed.
Not the draft. We need to have compulsory national service. It is a crime that we have kids. Turned out, many of our national youth service programs under the AmeriCorps.
Now, you see, he wants to create a big national compulsory organization of the youth. Remember the Job Corps and all that? Where they can be put in their race mix 24 hours a day. Yeah, they'd love to take all these young white kids out of these little white communities and compulsory draft them. Into this big polyglot of diversity with the excuse of, maybe digging a ditch or painting a fence. Right.
90% of the applicants.
Because they don't have the funding?
Because they don't have the funding.
Oh, my God.
Kids in our country want to be part of this country. They want to have the experience of working shoulder to shoulder with people who grew up on the other side of the tracks, people who went to a public school and they went to a private.
Lordy, lordy, people want race mixing. They want race mixing so bad that we're going to make it compulsory for them to race mix. How about that?
Talk like them, don't dress like them. They want to belong to this country and feel fully empowered as citizens. We've got to give them that opportunity.
We got to give all you white people that are left out there the opportunity to be part of the wretched refuse, because you all want to be part of each other because it's we are weak, we don't have any balls, we won't defend the race, we won't defend the block, we won't defend the tribe. But if we all are told what to do, that we're just human beings and some kind of an American polyglot blop, we'll get along fine. Well, those capitalists love that. That's slavery on the shoe. Talk about slavery.
And look, a lot of my family is in the military, and it's a beautiful thing, but kids need to have a full range of opportunities.
Right. Yeah.
And quite frankly, if we do that, then we would be more conservative, small c, in our foreign policy as well.
Oh, absolutely. In Germany, they have a national draft. You can choose either the army or working for a nonprofit organization. It's a great rite of passage. And not only that, after you do that, in exchange for that year of service, you get a free college education.
France has it. Turkey has it in the state.
Yeah.
They ain't giving you nothing free. You're paying for it some way. They want you to do something. They want to put you in the cookie cutter. So when you come out of that college, you'll walk straight, man. I'll tell you. And so the compulsory military training. That's why Ernst Zundel fled Germany. The hell with compulsory military, because because most of the time when there's any war, it's for the wrong reasons. In fact, is there any real good reason for war except saving your race?
Absolutely, and it's an investment in our future and our kids, and it's something that we absolutely need. Ben Jealous, brilliant guy. Head of the NAACP, CEO and president of the NAACP.
Yeah, he's a brilliant guy because we agree with each other, and I'm a race mixer, and I just can't stand the fact that there's little blue-eyed kids around and white-skinned and like that, and we just got to all get together and make it compulsory that they turn brown or black, right? Okay. Well, I do have an announcement that fairly important. You know, for about 14, 15 years, we've been doing Race and Reason. And there was a lull for a while in California, and then we got back out here to Indiana. We thought we'd start it up again. But we've run into situations where we find, number one, the medium is just not used hardly at all, and there's hardly anybody watching the channel because everybody's on their computer and on the Internet. So we feel our time is better spent developing more and more programs on the Internet. And we also, it's the physical, driving 100 miles, well, nearly 100 miles each time we do the show. And then we got to wait for the copies, and then we got to mail the copies and get more copies and then get them sent around. And I'm going to just tell you, back in the day, we had about 30 cities putting the show on. But then it started dwindling down, and mostly it was the right-wing lazy people. They say they want all this stuff, but don't listen to what they say because they won't get off their ass and do it. And so gradually we went down, and only had a few cable stations around the country and a few loyal people putting the show on. And we put out this thing and said, go to your cable company and get signed up here after we come to Indiana. And almost nobody did it. And so we're saying we're not going to spend all this time once every 2 months doing a couple of shows for no more than we're getting out of it. But I'll tell you what we do want to do. Is do some shooting out in the field with our recorder, and also I can record shows here and put them on DVD right here in the bunker, and go to some of these things that are going on that you might be interested in and get some raw footage and like that, get away from this scheduled type studio stuff because anyhow it's. That time can be well better put into other projects, and it's too bad that Podblank is not up, and I don't know whether it's ever going to be back up. But we're going to figure out some new programs here, and including this, we'll give it a go for a call-in show on Wednesday night and 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, and you call 574-267-5036, and. And we'll go from there.
No matter what I say or do, you're never satisfied. I've tried so many times, I'm leaving now goodbye.
Bring me a beer, Mabel.
For why on earth was I ever born? I'll never understand. To fall in love with a woman like
Yesterday I stopped by the watering hole, had a glass of iced tea, and I saw this come on the screen that George Steinbrenner had died, and Jesus, you ought to have heard all these old farts moaning and groaning, what a wonderful guy he was, and how much money he had. He had $1.5 billion or better, and he'd already spent $1.5 billion on recruiting top-notch ball players, and on and on. They knew more about that son of a gun than they know about their own family, probably. So the rest of the day, whenever I talked to anybody, I said, oh, did you see the Pope is dead? The Pope is dead. You know, George Steinbrenner, the head of the Dodgers deal or whatever. I don't know. What basketball team did he own? Well, I got some sad news here from Eastern European Wolf, about a person that I'm sure none of us knew, hardly anybody. He says, I just got a tearful phone call from Romania. Hank, Hans, or Titus is dead. I guess the guy went by two or three different names for 2 weeks already. He had trouble last winter, and I thought this winter would be dangerous for him, and I invited him here, but he did not last until then. He did smoke rather a lot and paid no attention to anyone's advice anyway. Was thinking of visiting there next month and trying to find other people interested in his village. He got no medical attention from the local doctors either. So what will happen now to this runic monument in the middle of Transylvania? And his writings? Will his history of the Goths be thrown into a bin by one of his relatives in the village? The same people who always borrowed his tools and never returned them. Hopefully gypsies are not walking around the place in his cowboy boots. The last German was, he was the last German left in the village. All these goth fashion freaks would shit their pants if they ever actually set foot in Transylvania. Well, there you go. That's a report on the loss of a comrade there, and evidently he's written quite a study on the history of the Goths, but nobody's there at his location to salvage his notes or anything. And as usual, probably a wife or a relative or just the people around there will probably just dump the stuff. So anyhow, we'll put this up on the NAV for you. And could take it from there. Well, let's read a little bit from the good book, Might is Right. Hate your enemies with a whole heart, and if a man smites you on one cheek, smash him down, smite him hip and thigh, for self-preservation is the highest law. Manhood is demonetized. This little pamphlet has been issued not for private profit, but to assist in uprooting the alien and pernicious ideals that have been long centuries corrupting the blood and corroding the brain of Europe and America. Conventional moral dogmas and political standards of value are like wooden idols, the work of men's hands. They have no real basis in nature, nor have they any supernatural sanction. Every one of them has been carved out of a worm-eaten lie, a brazen assumption, or a madman's dream. Their impositions most insolent. Why should we bow down even in formal adulation before imbecile and unnatural principles invented thousands of years ago for the enslavement of Oriental descendants? Have we not given lip service long enough to false heroism and fool evangels? Why feign the possession of slave virtues? Why continue to glorify untruths that we know to be untruths? Why should men of sterling worth obey any other man's thou shalt? Let us return to nature for our moral standards. Let us search our own hearts and brains for the true meaning of right and wrong. We're living and dying, mostly dying, in a poisonous environment of deep-seated moral dementia, social disease, and political illusions. The righteous and the just, hypocrites, deceivers, enemies of all that is noble, courageous, and manly, destroyers of self-assertiveness, annihilators of heroism. Would that I had a legion of demons to wring neck, a crucified Jew slave, terrorized under authority, is set up as a god, as a standard of measurement for all mankind. That is why personal valor and nobility are at such a tremendous discount. Christendom is in bondage. Manhood is demonetized. Our race is betrayed. Boldly stand erect. Jewish books are for Jews, and Jew messiahs too. But if you're not of Jewish blood, how can they be for you? To make an idol of a book is poison for the brain. A dying God upon a cross is reason gone insane. Beware of all the holy books and all the creeds and schools, and every law that man has made, and all those golden rules. Laws and rules imposed upon you from days of old renown are not intended for your good, but for your crushing down. Then dare to rend the chains that bind, and to yourself be true. Dare to liberate your mind from all things old and new. Always think your own thought. All other thoughts reject. Learn to use your own brain and boldly stand erect. Be as a lion in the path. Hate for hate and ruth for ruth. Eye for eye and tooth for tooth. Scorn for scorn, smile for smile, love for love, and guile for guile, war for war, and woe for woe, blood for blood, and blow for blow. Thou hast listened full and oft to the diabolic philosophy of the divine creepling. Love your enemies and bless them that hate you and despitefully use you. But I say unto you, love thy kindred, love thy friends, love thyself, and hate thine enemies with a whole heart. Be a foe to your friend's foe, a friend to a friend's friend, and above all things, permit no wrong done unto thee or thine to pass unchallenged, unredressed, unavenged. Let thy motto be, tread not on me, for he that tamely submits to insult and injury is worse than a dog. He is a dastard, a born slave, a Christling. I'm the friend of all brave men, the foe of all cowards. I call up high daring, I cast down despair. An evil spirit hath inculcated our race with the hideous gospel of submissiveness, of degeneracy. Resist not evil, it whines, and if a man smite thee on the cheek, turn to him also the other. But I say unto you, if a man smite you on the cheek, smash him on the other. Resist every evil, be as a lion in the path, be dangerous, even in defeat. Courage, I say, courage, and evermore courage. Even the stars in their courses are fight for the bold. Well, that's about it for today. Wednesday, Walden's Day, Dave Lane's favorite day. And I'll be back with you tomorrow. Thursday, I told you that we're going to have Michael Myers on today, but he had a problem, a scheduling problem. So allegedly we're going to do it Friday. So anyhow, and we'll go from there. So 14-5. And just remember, I have nothing to say. You're going to get to use that quite a bit, I think, in the future as time goes on. And most people are always wrong when it's most important to be right. And worse is better for now. When the conservatives cry and moan, you should lift your glass and cheer and laugh. We'll be back with you tomorrow, Thursday. That's right.
And it's a needless breeze. It's all so good to me. I might head out to the Rockies. Got an old friend there from college. We'll stay up all night and talk about old times. Well, I couldn't make him love me, so the story ends. Say a bittersweet goodbye. Turn these wheels into